Pleasure to welcome in Kyle Borson, now running back, returner, whatever you want him to be, from the Regina Rams, heading into the 2021 CFL draft. He had an exceptional virtual combine performance. By now, if you like the CFL or the CFL combine, the CFL draft, even a tiny bit, and you haven't heard about how Kyle tested, you've been under a rock, because it's been everywhere. Kyle, congratulations first and foremost on a great showing that obviously has been a bit of a launching pad for you here into the draft.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. It's kind of an exciting time for me. So I'm just excited to kind of soak it all in and see what kind of happens in the future here.
I think a lot of people see those numbers. And again, for those that don't know, shout out some of your numbers here, because I've been talking about them for forever. It seems like since the combine came down, I've been bragging about your numbers on behalf of you, but I have you here. So tell us what your numbers were, and then I'll ask you the follow-up.
Okay. So the official times that the CFL released were a 4.46 in the 40, 22 reps on the bench, 4 flat in the 5.10.5 shuttle, a 6.8 in the L drill, and I believe that's all of them.
And when I hear that, you know, my mind, as somebody who was not athletic and played quarterback, is, holy hell, Kyle, how is that possible? But I want you to tell people what goes into that, because they see the numbers, right? And it's, for me, I always look at it and I see, well, he's got a fast 40 time. Okay, he's a track guy. That makes sense. Okay, but his bench number was big. Okay, well, he's got straight line speed, but he doesn't have quickness. Shuttle and three cone was pretty amazing. What goes into attaining a day like that on all of those tests? Because it was pretty well-rounded for you, and it was also crazy explosive, which if anybody watched you play at the University of Regina, I think they would say, yeah, that's an explosive guy. But you know as well, those are crazy numbers, man. Like, and it's, I'm just wondering what goes into that. Detail some of your background, some of your training, and what it takes to actually accomplish those numbers that everybody kind of hangs their hat on.
Yeah, like, I mean, those numbers don't just kind of fall from the sky. That takes a long time to kind of attain those numbers. Like, people like to throw around the 40 time, like 4.5s and those types of numbers, but those are very, a 4.5 is very fast. If you're running a sub 4.5, you're usually a track guy. It's pretty rare to see guys running sub 4.5 that aren't running track. So yeah, how I attained those, honest, obviously track was huge. I've always kind of had speed on my side ever since I was a kid. So that, going into this CFL combine, I kind of knew I was going to run a fast time. I think anybody who's kind of in my circle knew that was going to kind of happen. The bench, obviously, that's just time spent in the gym. I mean, that's all it. The bench, all it really shows is how much dedication or how dedicated are you to this game. Like, obviously I had a pretty high bench number, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm stronger than these O linemen, although my bench number is higher than them. Like, I'm not going to go bully them on the field or anything. It just shows that, yeah, I've put in more time in the gym and to kind of get better at this game. That's all that really shows. And these numbers just came from hard work. It's really simple as that. That's what kind of why I loved the combine, because I mean, your numbers are going to reflect the amount of time that you work at it. So and obviously I put the time in and I worked my butt off for a very long time. I dieted, I didn't go out and party for months and none of that stuff. So I was just zoned in and putting up good numbers that day, and that's kind of what happened for me. So
and to do that in a pandemic as well, I find intriguing, because we've seen the videos of people that have been training in their garage, or they've been pouring concrete blocks for themselves to be able to squat. I mean, I know myself, even at home, I'm not even an athlete anymore. I went out to Home Depot early on, bought some 2x4s, got some plywood, built some plyo boxes, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's making it up as they go. What was your preparation process like, and how was it altered by everything that's happened over the last 13, 14 months?
Well, previously I was working out alone, for obvious reasons. If people kind of know my story, I was working out alone all of 2019. So when the pandemic hit, the gyms closed down here, obviously. So, first thing that kind of happened for me was I had my teammate, Robbie Lowe's, who's also in the draft. He called me up day one and said, "Hey, like, I'm buying a home gym and nothing stops. This train keeps going no matter what." So he kind of he definitely was being a good teammate there and went out, got a full home gym for us, and me and him kind of never really lost a step there. So we only got stronger during the pandemic and in terms of lifting. In terms of running, obviously we were very limited in what we could do. Cause I personally like running on the track. That's how you get fast is track and field training. So that was kind of a bummer for me, but I mean, I kept with my strength, and I mean, as long as you're using what you got, like you're not going to lose your speed. So
yeah.
I mean, yeah. In terms of the pandemic, like I didn't really lose a step. I think I only got better during it. So.
Well, that's amazing. And it's, you know, Robbie Lowe's, it's funny you mentioned that he was the one that bought into it, because I feel like you need at some point that support system, right? Like you can't do all of this stuff by yourself. And I'm sure there's lots of other people that have helped you on the journey along the way, but I'm wondering what goes into buying a full home gym that gives you those numbers for strength. Like was he buying the full platform? Was it just dumbbells and loading up as much as he could from that? I mean, what did you guys actually work with to get prepared?
Oh man. Well, Robbie's dad he's a player personnel guy for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So he's all okay. Sports all the time. So he was really helping us out too. He went all out and he got us like mats for the floor, got a full squat rack, got dumbbells 20 to 90, had like 500 pounds in weights. Like we had everything. So we didn't lose a step in the gym at all during the pandemic, which was nice.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's fantastic. Cause there's, I mean, I would bet right now, Kyle, that there's 75 to 80% minimum of guys who are in the CFL draft. That's not their reality, right? Like that's a blessing that you were given the opportunity to have that stuff at your disposal. You also mentioned that you were working out by yourself in 2019. Take us through your journey at your time at the University of Regina, because for those that don't know kind of what your setup was, where you were on the depth chart, and of course, 2019 being a bit of a different year than a lot of guys that are in this draft class had.
Yeah. So, my college career hasn't really been very successful, you could say. I came in as a true freshman and they pulled my red shirt right away. And I was the primary punt returner, kick returner. I got special teams player of the year that year, which was great. Shifting into 2018, I was the backup running back behind Atley Simon, who is the all-time rushing leader for our school, all-time touchdown leader, I believe. So he was obviously big shoes to fill, and he helped me out a lot through my career as well. He unfortunately got injured in the first game, and then I kind of stepped in and kind of did my thing, and I was ready and I was prepared for when I got my shot, and I got my shot, and I took advantage of it. That season I had a really good year, ended up winning team MVP, which was voted by my teammates, which was a huge honor for me. But I mean, all that was kind of, taken away, I guess. That year we lost our whole season due to an ineligible player. So that kind of went my 2018 season. That was kind of gone. And then obviously I got suspended for taking a pre-workout supplement that had a banned substance. So they decided to give me a 16-month suspension for that, and bye-bye to my 2019 season. And then 2020 season, COVID, bye-bye to my 2020 season. And then, I like stayed optimistic throughout the whole thing. And I trained like a psycho through the whole thing because I trained angry, if I'm being honest. I was very angry with how everything played out for me. And I guess it kind of worked in my favor now, seeing the kind of the numbers that were the result of that. So
how do you wrap your head around that journey? Because we all go into this thinking, and you were a highly recruited player. Like I talked to your head coach at the University of Regina, Mark, and I had him say to me, listen, we were really lucky to get him. He was a Team Saskatchewan guy. He was a Football Canada guy. And, you know, you're talking about going into a situation where Atley Simon is already on his way to becoming one of the great running backs in the history of the Rams. And yet you choose to go there, and then you go there and you're biding your time and you're working, you get your opportunity and you take advantage of it. I believe your coach said that you were second in the country behind Adel Nicky, who won at that point the Creighton Trophy for 2018, correct? So when you end up having a season like that in 2018 and then 2019, something pops that you're not sure about, and then 2020 is extremely out of your control. I talked to a CFL scout the other day about you, Kyle, before we did this interview, and he said to me, I mean, we love everything he's about. The question is just, he hasn't played football in so damn long. And you've been in the gym preparing to put the pads back on. And I'm trying to imagine you, if hopefully we can hit a training camp in July and we're relatively back to normal and we're starting to trend in the right direction. What is it going to feel like to put a helmet and shoulder pads on again and play football? Because you're so ready to play football, obviously, not just with the testing metrics, but the mentality and how hungry you've been for a long time. What is that going to feel like for you?
I mean, it's going to be different. Obviously, I haven't played in a long time. I mean, I've stayed in touch with the game. Like, it's not like I've never been on a field since. Like, I got my pads and helmet at home. Like, I'm throwing with my quarterback all the time. My best friend's quarterback for the Huskies, whenever he's in town, we're throwing all the time. We had a full fall camp in 2020. So, I understand why teams are worried that I haven't had game action in such a long time. That's understandable 100%. But, I've stayed in touch with the game. I'm the most knowledgeable I've been from a running back standpoint on the game than I was when last time I played. I'm more confident as a player. So, it's going to feel different, but I'm not too worried about how I'm going to perform. I think I'm going to be just fine.
When you think about where you came from at the start of your journey with the Rams to where you are now through that crazy 17, 18, 19, 20 into the 21 draft, you mentioned that you feel as though you're more knowledgeable than ever as a running back. What does that mean to you? What is the aspect of your game that you feel like I've picked up a lot of knowledge and I have comfort with this that I might not have had at the start?
Yeah, just like protection wise and kind of reading a defense, kind of how the alignments of players, kind of picking up on little cues that they give of like who's coming where, and just blocking schemes, like pretty much anything like football wise that a running back can know. I just understand it better. And I stayed in touch with my coaches throughout this whole process and been working with them. So, I just feel confident in what I'm going to and how I'm going to be in at the next level. And if I'm back with the Rams, I think I'm going to be better than I was before. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's selfishly, as somebody who loves U Sports football, as somebody who played U Sports football, I would love to see you back in U Sports football to get an opportunity to tear it up and go crazy, but also want to see you have CFL success if that's a possibility as well. I'm also imagining, like, through all of these ups and downs and the training and the being angry about things, and like, how do you wind down? Like, your personality, you have to be a certain type of personality to train angry for that long by two circumstances that are completely out of your hands and rip away a large chunk of your university experience. How do you wind down from that and just have normal time? How do you just relax when you are constantly wound like that?
Well, one thing I did when I was away from the game, I got a full-time job as a teacher's assistant working with special needs. And I worked in a grade 5-6 classroom, and they kept me level, and they kept me grounded. And I had a really good relationship with everyone I worked with, and they kind of knew my story and we connected really well. And I would say just having that normalcy and kind of doing things to get your mind off of what happened to me, that kind of kept me level and kind of winded me down. And I'm thankful for that as well, obviously.
What role did family play in that? Because family is, they're always there. They're always present a lot of the time when you go through those difficult situations. And I'm wondering how they played into this period of creating what you're going to be in your next step. I imagine that they would have had a hand in it.
Yeah, obviously, like, my support system was unbelievable. I mean, my parents are unbelievable. My friends are unbelievable. They helped me through everything, and they didn't doubt me through anything. They knew, and they didn't blame me for anything. They know the type of person I am, and they know that although I got suspended, that I would never do anything on purpose to cheat, I guess you could say. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, obviously. It was such a simple mistake. But yeah, no, they supported me through the whole thing, friends and family wise. And I couldn't be more thankful for the family I have and where I live and all that type of stuff. I'm really grateful for
you mentioned where you live, which leads me into my next question for you here, Kyle, which is, I assume grew up a Riders fan.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Regina. I have to grow up wearing green. I had no choice.
Okay, so that plays into it. What would that mean to you if they decided to select you and give you an opportunity?
Yeah, that'd be a dream come true, obviously. Grew up watching the Riders. It's probably the most popular program. I remember going to Mexico with my family and seeing Rough Rider ponchos in Mexico for sale at a market. Like, it was my grandma bought them. So, I mean, yeah, like, playing for the Riders would be awesome. But at the end of the day, I want to go to a team that's going to take my traits and use them in order for me to be successful. I want to go to a program that's going to help me be successful in the game. And if that's the Riders, that's best case scenario. And if it's not, then that's okay too.
It's a great answer. And I think it's an honest one as well. I can tell how much you love the Riders, but also you just want the opportunity. How high do you think you can go in the draft at this point? Because the draft positioning, we blow it way out of the water, because there's guys who get drafted in the sixth round, like Sean Thomas Arlington, who out of Montreal, who go on to have great careers. And then there's other guys who get drafted first overall, like Faith Cockatoo to Winnipeg, and he ends up retiring 4 years later, right? Like, this stuff happens. It's all over the place. It doesn't matter what league you're looking at, what sport. But I am wondering, you have just put out, I mean, your highlights are fantastic. Your game film is super solid. Your testing is out of this world. How high do you think that actually pushes you up?
I really don't know. I mean, I've followed all the CFL drafts the last few years. I followed the numbers. I know running backs tend to go later in the draft. If you're looking at it from that standpoint, a guy that I like to compare myself to, well, not compare myself to, but kind of a similar situation, Travell Pinto. We have similar numbers in the 40 and all that. We have somewhat similar of a past, and he went in the second round. Saying that, and considering that I'm a running back, I would say maybe a third round pick or a fourth round pick is kind of where I'll fall. If I was to guess, I don't really know, but if I had to put a guess, I would say third or fourth round is where I'll land.
Okay. So it hasn't come out yet, I don't believe, on CFL.ca, but I do the mock drafts for CFL.ca, which are basically just thought experiments of where I think people might be able to end up at the end of this craziness. I mocked you, I believe it was 13th overall to Ottawa. So I put you in the second round to Ottawa. And the reason that I did that is that when I watch you play on game film, like, yes, you've got the power to go between the tackles, and there's plays where you're breaking arm tackles and all that. But I just imagine, like, Anthony Coombs and Nick Dembski, what he does for the Bombers. I imagine Paul Lapolice sitting in a film room in Ottawa watching your game, the burst, the speed, the quickness, the movement in the hole. I mean, everything that you bring to the table, he's looking at it and going, yeah, I could use that guy. Like, I really do think when I look at your game and I think of what Lapolice has done in the past with his offense recently, 17, 18, 19, kind of looking at that Bombers offense and the way that they trended, he likes to have those guys who are the downhill, powerful running backs. Andrew Harris, obviously, was that. Timothy Flanders, we think, is going to be that in Ottawa. He likes to have the really efficient passer. Matt Nichols is in that spot. He likes to be able to have certain slot receivers and a big body on the outside. But then you also, you need that toy. You need that thing that's got the speed and the versatility. And that's why when I hear you say, you know, I'm second round-ish, but I'm a running back, so maybe that pushes me down. I don't think you have to discount yourself like that, because you've got hands, you've got speed, and you've got the ability to run all sorts of jet sweeps and everything in the backfield and screens. And so I imagine you as being in and around that second round spot, but Ottawa for me feels like a really natural fit. I know that you say you've watched a lot of the game, you studied the game a lot. Can you imagine yourself in that role with what Lapolice kind of did in Winnipeg with, like I say, the Dembskis of the world, or Coombs, what he did in Toronto and Hamilton, as being kind of that Canada West running back hybrid that gets used in a variety of ways?
100%. I couldn't agree with you more on the type of player that I am. I mean, in all my interviews, I had coaches asking me what type of player they think I am. And I'd give them those two guys every time, Anthony Coombs, Nick Dembski. I definitely think I'm one of those hybrids who you can put inside the box, run zone, bump them outside, throw them the ball, catch the ball just as well as any other receiver. And I'm definitely the type of player where if you can give me the ball in space, like I'm going to make a big play happen. And yeah, I think you could be right on the nose with that. Like I would have to agree.
All right. Well, we'll fingers crossed. The old Rough Riders. It's not the ones that you're used to from when you were growing up, but the franchise in Ottawa, they might be interested in you down the road. How are you going to spend draft night? Do you have any plans? Have you built anything out? I know we're still amongst all this craziness right now, but I imagine that on a special night, you're planning on hearing your name called, obviously. What are you going to do? Who are you going to be with? What's that night going to be like for you?
Yeah, well, obviously we're kind of locked down here in Regina right now, but we're going to kind of, if it's nice out, we're going to open up the garage and have about 10 people in the garage, just the immediate family, and put the draft on a projector and just kind of follow along with the stream if I kind of fall past the second round. So that's the plan. And I mean, hopefully I'm not waiting too long. We'll see what happens.
Hopefully you're not like Tom Brady and you have to go walk around the block with the baseball bat, I think was the old story that his dad tells, right? As he just started walking around, just hitting the ground and practicing his swing to try and take his mind off things. But I don't think you're going to be waiting very long, Kyle. I think you got a lot of promise. I wish we would have seen you in 2019. Obviously, I wish we would have seen you in 2020. But stuff has happened that's been crazy. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you in 21, regardless of where you get an opportunity to be able to play. Congratulations again on everything that you've accomplished so far, and all the best coming up on draft night. It should be a fun one for you. And by the way, don't be scared to have a beer. I know it might be your first one in a long time, but don't be scared to have a beer after you get drafted to reward yourself. Okay.
Yeah. I've been talking about that with my brother. We'll see. I might have a couple of beers. We'll see. Let's see what happens.
It's well earned, my man. Congratulations on everything. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Marshall.